I want to take for our text this morning part of a verse that Jason read to us. If you like, you can turn your Bibles back to Isaiah chapter 53. As most of you know, this chapter is about the suffering servant. It's about Jesus. It paints a picture of his suffering and, more importantly, it interprets it for us. The chapter tells us what Jesus' suffering on the cross meant, what it was for, what it achieved, and it's very clear. But today I want you to notice what it says halfway through verse 12. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "And he was numbered among the transgressors." I want us to meditate on this expression, "and he was numbered among the transgressors." Some of you may remember a story that got a lot of media attention in 2004. There was a rugby league team staying at a resort in Coffs Harbour, one of the teams that play in the NRL, and they were in Coffs Harbour to play a trial game before the season started. During their stay, a very serious incident took place. A 20-year-old woman ended up in hospital and alleged that she had been assaulted by as many as six players. The police were involved and it became a massive scandal. Even if you didn't care one little bit for rugby league, you probably knew about the story and had an opinion. Now, as part of their investigation, the police interviewed the whole team and asked them all to provide DNA samples. And one of the members of the team was a very religious man, not a Christian, but very serious about his faith. And at the time, he had a reputation for being a clean, living, upstanding member of the team and of the local community. He didn't drink and carry on like many footballers do. Anyway, you might remember that this particular player refused the police request to give a DNA sample. And he was the only one in the team who did. He got a lawyer and he held firm. He wasn't charged, he wasn't a suspect, and so he could not be compelled to give a sample. And he copped a lot of criticism for doing that. Some of it very nasty and hateful. There were those who dragged his religion into it. It was really pretty awful. But listen to what he said at the time, and I quote, "It's all about dignity. I've built up a reputation that I'm proud of, and I felt sick in the stomach when I had to go to a police station over something I had nothing to do with. It was a humiliating and degrading experience just to walk up the stairs. I felt like I was going to the gallows with all of the television cameras there. I felt like running. It was such a horrible experience. The next day my face was all over the papers and people make assumptions based on that. I just didn't want to be associated with such filthy, horrible allegations, so I stood up for my legal rights and refused to take the test." Now, what you think about that whole incident and about the stand this man took is not the issue today. I simply want to use this story to illustrate the idea in our text. Now, the player who refused to take the DNA test did not want to be numbered among the transgressors, or at least numbered among those who were perceived to be transgressors. He didn't want to be put in that basket. He didn't want to be put in that category. He didn't want his reputation to be tainted. He didn't want to be thought of as a criminal. And if we're honest, none of us do. If we know that we're innocent, we don't want to be counted among those who are guilty. Now, if everyone in our workplace was cheating the system, you know, scamming the boss in some way, but we weren't, and they got caught, we wouldn't want to be bundled in with them. We wouldn't want to be tarred with the same brush. We'd be sure to let the boss know that we weren't part of it. We tend to vigorously defend our innocence. We're jealous for our reputation. And even when we are guilty, when we are caught doing the wrong thing, we still don't want to be put in the same category as the really bad people. You know, we try to minimise our culpability. We don't want to be numbered among the transgressors, even when we are a transgressor. Now, this verse in Isaiah tells us that Jesus would be. And 700 years after it was written, Jesus himself acknowledged it. It's a remarkable statement. Luke chapter 22, verse 37. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me, and he was reckoned among the transgressors. What is written in the scriptures, in the book of Isaiah, that will be accomplished in me. That's what Jesus was saying. That's going to happen to me. My experience will be the fulfillment. Now, Jesus would be put into the category of a transgressor, a lawbreaker, a criminal, and he would be treated as such. And we see exactly this in the verses from the Gospel of John that Bill read to us. Jesus appeared before the governor, the civil magistrate. There was a criminal trial, John chapter 18, verse 33. Jesus was scourged, John chapter 19, verse 1. This was an ordeal that was generally reserved for those convicted of a crime and set for execution. Jesus was sentenced to death by the governor to die by crucifixion, John chapter 19, verse 16. This was a painful and shameful way to die. It was about as public as an execution could be, hanging there to die slowly by the road for all to see. And then often the body was left on the cross for days and even weeks. This form of execution was designed to highlight the guilt of the condemned man. One author writes that in the Roman Empire, crucifixion was usually reserved only for slaves, foreigners, revolutionaries, and the vilest of criminals. Jesus was forced to carry his cross through the streets of Jerusalem and outside the city walls. John chapter 19, verse 17. This was what guilty men did as they passed by. Everyone could see that he was a criminal. He was a lawbreaker. Then, of course, Jesus was crucified. John chapter 19, verse 18. And he was crucified between two other men. There were three crosses. He hung there dying alongside criminals. In a very literal sense, Jesus was numbered among the transgressors. If you were a stranger passing by on this particular day and you saw Jesus on the cross next to those other men, you would have thought, well, there's another criminal. I wonder what law he broke. Is he a murderer? Is he a thief? Is he a rapist? And we know that Jesus was none of these. We know that Jesus was holy, harmless, and undefiled, separate from sinners. We know he was made like us, every bit of human being, yet without sin. A lamb without blemish and without spot. A person who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He was not even a sinner, let alone a criminal. He was not a transgressor. And even the judge at his trial acknowledged that fact. I find no fault in him, Pilate said. And yet he was treated as a transgressor. He was tortured and executed like a criminal. And it was because he chose to be. Now we try to avoid such things. We defend our innocence, but he didn't. He was voluntarily numbered among the transgressors. Jesus chose to be put in that category. He chose to be seen this way by the crowds in Jerusalem. He chose to have his reputation sullied in the eyes of those who saw him walk the streets of Jerusalem carrying his cross. He chose to be treated as a lawbreaker and to bear all that came against him. He chose that painful, shameful, public death. He chose to die alongside the scum of society, real criminals, men who actually deserved to die in that manner. I say he chose because that's the resounding testimony of Scripture. I lay down my life, Jesus said in John chapter 10. No man taketh it from me. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. And he did this for us. That's the big point. That's the beating heart of the gospel. That's why we're here today on Good Friday. Jesus was an innocent man, the Holy Son of God, numbered among the transgressors for us and for our salvation. It's all laid out in our first scripture reading, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Verse 6, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 12, he bare the sin of many. The Apostle Peter echoed the prophet Isaiah when he wrote these words about Jesus, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And then chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. The just one suffers. The innocent one is treated like a criminal. The just one, Jesus, is tortured and executed. The just one experiences the wrath of God for the sins of the unjust. And why? So that he might bring them to God. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. It was so that he might take guilty, vile, hell-deserving sinners, you and me, and bring us into a relationship with God, a relationship of everlasting life and everlasting joy. God witnessed the sacrifice, the offering of Jesus' body and soul upon the cross, and he was satisfied. We heard those wonderful words in our reading. It is finished. It was finished. The penalty was paid, and today there is forgiveness and life in relationship with God, and peace and joy and purpose and love freely available to all who will acknowledge their sin, take responsibility for it, and trust in Jesus. It's their one and only Saviour. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you have everlasting life? Boys and girls, grown-ups, mums and dads, do you have everlasting life? Are your sins forgiven? Are you trusting in Jesus? I hope you are. If you're not, today's the day. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I know that most of the people in this room this morning have heard this message many times. You understand what Isaiah was saying. You're very familiar with the events described by John, and praise God, you have assurance of sins forgiven and everlasting life, but it doesn't hurt to hear it all again. In fact, we need to hear it all again. The gospel never goes out of fashion. It's always relevant. It's always needed. No one likes to be tarred with the sin of others. No one likes to have their reputation sullied. When we've done the right thing, we don't want to be counted among those who haven't. We don't want to be seen as guilty and treated accordingly, but Jesus was. In fact, he stepped into that. The shame, the scorn, the suffering, public humiliation. Jesus wrapped himself in our guilt, our sin, our filth, and took it to the cross, and by his agony and by his blood washed it away so that we might be wrapped in his righteousness, clean and free and acceptable to God. For those of us who are trusting in Jesus, we are not numbered among the transgressors, and we never will be. And that's our joy today. Let us rejoice and give thanks. Amen.